Hi, I'm Amanda Pacheco.
This is Sheila.
Hello, it's Davida.
I'm Gina Lovato.
Hey, it's Alana Dunn.
I'm Caitlin Bailey.
This is Melissa Novak.
It's Sean Jacobson.
Hey, it's Bethany Nicole. And welcome to Sex Party.
And welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Sex Party with your host, Dustin Rybka.
Hello and welcome to Sex Party. I'm your host, Dustin Rybka, and with me on the show this week is one of the biggest rising stars in the adult industry, Adeline Starr. She is going to open up about how and why she got into this industry, camming, OnlyFans, doing work for Brazzers and all the other major porn companies. What is it really like? What does it really take? How much money can you make? At the end of the interview, she gives some really, really great advice on what to do if you're going to get into this industry, whether it be OnlyFans, camming, or mainstream porn. And she also goes through the burner. So that segment has made a comeback. And listen, Adeline is extremely passionate. She's a lot of fun. You guys are going to love her. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Adeline Starr.
This week's conversation.
Adeline Starr, welcome to Sex Party. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
I feel good. I feel alive today. So that's better. That's good.
Why were you not feeling alive yesterday?
I've been super sick and then I fractured my foot. So yesterday I got my boot off. So I don't to wear boot anymore. And I'm so happy. And I took Mucinex 3 days in a row. I know that's so hot, but I took it 3 days in a row and I feel alive again. So shout out.
Yeah.
Shout out to that.
You know, I had a really bad experience actually with Mucinex one time. Really? I used to do club promotion and I was feeling horrible. And it's like when you do promotion, you can't not show up, right?
Yeah.
And so like I remember I took a ton of Mucinex and then like went and showed up and started doing shots per use. And it was just like people started to look like different shapes and shit. It was crazy. Yeah. So
that's wild.
Yeah.
Was it like Mucinex PM? Because that sounds like it was PM and you were trying to fight the PM part.
Well, it was like Mucinex, Marlboro Light. like club idiot. You should just go home. Just tell them you're sick. You know, like it was Mucinex Green Lantern shot, you know, like not. No, it's like really not smart. But shout out to Mucinex. Maybe they would sponsor the show. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know who you are, right? But in case someone like is like living under a rock, right? In the case somebody is like not, they've just tuned in as if this were a TV show. They don't know who you are. They don't know what you do. They don't know what you're about, right? Can you take a second? Introduce yourself and explain who you are and what you do.
Yeah, I'm Adeline Starr. Hello, for those who don't know who I am. I am a model and streamer. I do adult film and I'm from Texas. And that's pretty much it. I used to be a yoga teacher and then I was in marketing and business development for restaurants before I do what I do now. I live in a tiny home in the city and I have new neighbors who have a dog who is not used to hearing someone in the house next to it. It's literally like if you were to crawl outside of my window, you would crawl into my neighbor's yard. Like there's no like fence separation. It's the weirdest thing. Like
that's
who I am. I love what I do. It's very liberating. I feel very free. I love streaming. I'm a really big sci-fi nerd and just kind of like I'm a little nerdy. I really enjoy like the power of the internet and how it brings people from all over the world together, and I think that's a beautiful thing. And the things that we do with the internet now are so crazy. So,
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, maybe you can take some of the Mucinex, if you have any left, and like wrap it in like a piece of meat and throw it out the window.
Oh, my God. That would be so evil. That would be
probably so evil. But it would be better for the podcast. But either way, we're gonna work through. The episode is worth it. We don't care if there's a dog barking. No one gives a shit. Whatever. So you said so much right there, right? Like, and I love it because it gives us so many different places to jump to. So your experience with the internet has been mainly positive, right? So like, but you have to have trolls, right? I mean, you're a woman, you're a sex positive woman who's like doing adult work. Like, how do you handle trolls? Do you read the comments or do you avoid the comments? Do you say silly shit like I do?
Thankfully I don't. I'm very thankful. I try not to put myself in like those kinds of internet circles. I feel like, I'll give you a really good example. So there's a lot of like girls who will comment under like viral Twitter posts and stuff like that. And I did a little bit of that because you really do see a lot of like impressions and visits to your profile, and that you do get traction from that, but you're also opening yourself up to, you know, this whole entire, maybe, you know, audience or, you know, fan base that isn't really, like you said, open and accepting, and sex positive. And so I did that for a little while. And then I was like, you know what? No, I don't really want to be known as the girl who's like in the reply comments anyway.
Right.
I was like, so every now and then, like, I'll comment and I'll do that because, like I said, there is good traction there. But I try to be mindful on where. And I'd say there's a couple like different communities, but I started streaming on Kick, K-I-C-K. And that one is the one where it was very much like I had a lot of really big, like almost backlash when I first started. And I, you know, I'd been a streamer at this point for like two years, and I'd been on Chatterbait, you know, a different kind of streaming. It's cam modeling, you know, everyone knows what they're there for. But on Kick, I started streaming on like the bikini girls category, and I literally just had like some of the meanest and crazy, like in all my, like, you know, I say in all my years, in all my 2 years of, you know, putting myself out there on the internet, I have never encountered such a, you know, like this level of trollness. And thankfully there's like safeguards that the platform puts into place to where you can put it at like subscriber only chat. And you, of course, you have moderators and things like that. So yeah, I really, the way that I see it is kind of like, you just don't feed into it. You don't give it your attention and you keep it moving. Sometimes every now and then, like if I'm bored or nothing else is happening in the chat, then like I'll rag on whoever it is, or like I'll, you know, and sometimes I've even had like some trolls who are like, oh no, like I'm just trolling, like I'm just fucking with you, and then they end up like chilling and hanging out. I mean, it's not like the really derogatory like mean people who come in, but like, you know, people will be like, I think one time I put I also stream on KIK. This is different kind of, I stream on both Kicks, Kick, K-I-C-K, and K-I-K. And on Kick, K-I-K, I put single housewife doing the dishes, right? And for me, I'm just trolling too. And so people are coming in there and like, you know, how can you be single and a housewife at the same time? And I was like, yeah, I'm just fucking with you too. And they're like, all right, cool, me too. And so it was like a mutual like troll. So I guess that, you know, like, it's very much, I kind of think about it in like control the narrative, right? Like, you've got to control the narrative. You've got to spin it in your favor. And if it doesn't, then you just keep it moving.
Yeah. I mean, and you can always like dip in for engagement. Like, people, like I started this show, we're headed into the third season. So I've been doing it for 2 years. And, you know, the Facebook page, the Instagram page, like, are exploding, whatever. But like, it, like, on one of them, mainly Facebook, but Instagram too, like, I have like a piece of content that'll go viral. Usually like one piece per episode will go viral, you know, like half a million, a million, like whatever. And it's just like the most ignorant shit you ever could imagine. So I'm just like, oh, like, I'm just going to provoke people. I'm just going to like, you know, ask them like, oh, you, so you're triggered by women. Like, okay, what's it? Tell us about that, you know, and then whatever. Or like, just say something absurd. Like, have you ever been in a boat? Or, you know, like just something that makes no sense, right? And they're like, what the hell? But it just like keeps the, but like, that, I feel like at some point I'm probably going to just like have to hire an intern or something to just say stupid shit back, because it does take a toll, right? And I can't imagine like being a sex worker, being a woman who like wants to express herself in any way. It like, you know, at a certain point I'd be like, you know what? I'm just not even going to fucking check in with these people. Fuck them, you know? Because that's like what, I mean, it's like you need a vacation. If you deal with it for a week, you need to take a week off. It's almost like whatever. Yeah. You said that you've been doing sex work, right? Like for 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. And what's crazy about you is when everyone's like talking about like in the adult film category, like the up and comers, the new whatever, I always hear your name. I hear Adeline Starr and I hear, CeCe Rose, like, so those are like the two. So like, you're one of the two that I hear constantly.
Yay!
Right?
Okay, good.
Yeah. Because I think that's fair. Like it always takes a couple years to like start to catch the attention of whatever. So how does that feel? I mean, you've had to have heard that before. How does that feel to be part of like a new class of like adult star that's like coming into popularity right now?
I mean, it's kind of like, I like it and I'm happy because I had a browser scene come out in 2022. And then right around mid this year, people are like, oh, did you retire? Or like, you know, like, oh, when's your, like, are you still doing porn? I'm like, yeah, like I'm literally putting new shit out all the time when it comes to my OnlyFans. But because some people don't, I haven't done a lot of mainstream up until recently because I didn't have an agent and I recently got signed, which is like major and which helps add more momentum to you. Mm-hmm. But at the time I was independent and I live in Texas. And so I'm very secluded from the industry and I've had to do a lot of traveling. And so, it's nice and it's like, okay, cool. And I still feel very new because there's people who have been in this industry for 20 years mm-hmm. or, you know, since, you know, they for a very long time. So, and I still feel like I'm getting the hang of it. And each year is like a new, like new discovery, you know what I mean? Like it's, I'm learning something new each year. So my first year I was, you know, learning camming, and then my second year still learning camming, and then, you know, continuing to build that base. And then I started doing professional porn. I did two browser scenes and then I did a reality king scene in 2022. And so all those scenes came out. So then it was like, okay, which direct, like, where do you want to go from here? You've done pro porn. You've seen a lot of like really good, you know, just like traction and, you know, a lot of crossover of people coming into my live streams, people on my mm-hmm. OnlyFans. And I was like, I like this. I enjoyed that. And like I said, I came from like marketing and branding. So I was like, this kind of like the more pro scenes you do, I feel it continues to just like obviously adds relevancy and then adds value to your brand as a whole. So, it's been exciting. So that was, you know, 2022. And then this year I was like, okay, what are you going to do? So that's why I started doing mainstream, streaming like on Kick because mm-hmm. I was like, all right, like I've been under camming and I was like, I've got to continuously like tap into new audience, like which, and so this year has been learning how to become a regular streamer on, you know, a site like Kick. And so like I said, it's like, you know, you just continuously keep going and finding new ways to grow and expand who you're reaching.
Yeah, I mean, that makes so much sense. Like you say, you have a marketing background, number one. Number two, like that is so smart to do mainstream and also do OnlyFans plus the like the camming and whatever, because they like sort of feed each other. And I feel like mm-hmm. a lot of people go to Pornhub, a lot of people go wherever, or maybe they are like, you know, legit people who pay for the Brazzers membership, right? Shout out to Brazzers. And they see those scenes, right? And they are like, wow, these are high quality. This is great. She's doing all these things that I like. And then so then they come over to your OnlyFans. And like usually once somebody becomes like a fan or like a subscriber, then they just keep subscribing if they like. So I think that's like really smart, because a lot of times now when I'm interviewing people in the porn industry, or like a lot of the online conversation, you hear about it like from some of the big, like some of the legends, even they're like, oh, you know, mainstream porn is over with, it's done, whatever. And sure, I guess to an extent, and that's good that like OnlyFans has given adult performers and women and men, everybody, the chance to make their own money. But I do think like the adults, you know, industry is like far from over. It's just evolving, probably.
Correct. You know? Yeah, exactly. Like for me, it's like I don't think that personally. Like for me as a newcomer, I still see, you know, like benefit and worthwhile of. And it's fun. I enjoy it. Like, it's exciting. Like, what? Like, this is my life. Like, you want me to drive to a mansion and shoot some porn? Like, okay. You know, like, who the fuck doesn't want to do that? So, I mean, like, I feel like that's the people who say, like, mainstream porn is dead. You know, maybe for them. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is such... And what's great about it is, I think... 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever, people are like, oh, mainstream porn will never enter the discussion. It'll never enter. And yes, it's had a hard time getting there. And you had like people like the old school, like legends, like Tracy Lords and Jenna Jameson and all those people, like they crossed over into a little bit. But now it's almost like, how do you not touch OnlyFans and be a Hollywood star, right? Like you hear, like, I guess Amber Heard started a fucking OnlyFans and Bella Thorne had an OnlyFans. And then on the other side, it's like, if you are in the adult scene, you know, you're also like kind of like mixed up in the Hollywood thing. So I think we're finally getting to that place where it's all becoming, and there's so many more women that are like talking proudly about their porn habits and shit. So I think it's like a really amazing time. I think it's sort of a, you know, things may be changing and the power might be going back to you guys, which is great, right? But like to say that it's, you know, cashed and like that's done and whatever, like I just don't see that. I mean, there's like fucking, there's like 20 browser scenes that come out a day, you know, and like,
yeah.
Pornhub's like the new MTV almost, really, you know, like.
You know what I think it is? It's like also like meme culture too. I feel like meme culture is like also breathing life into mainstream porn as well, because there's so much, like there was one meme that came out and it was like, oh, if you're on the, like, if you go to these four sites, you're sick as fuck. Did you see that one?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, I'm on all four. And I took a screenshot and I was like, this is a major flex and I don't fucking care. Like, yeah. This is epic. Like, I'm on all four. And I, like, screenshotted, like, you know, me on Chatterbait and me on OnlyFans and me on Pornhub and me on Brazzers. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm sick as fuck then. Or does this make me dead? You know, like, at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like, you know, scenarios like that, it's like, yeah, like I feel like porn in a way is coming out of the shadows. And especially with all the scandals that are coming up now with, you know, government officials, you know, doing stuff and, you know, like that whole, you know, that whole thing. I feel like it's just becoming more of a, people know it's there. People talk about it. People joke about it. And it's, I don't want to say it's normalized because it's still a very long way. And that's what kind of also like allows it to maintain its value, is the fact that it's still kind of, you know, behind, you know, the shadows. But yeah, I think it's a wild ride. I'm excited to kind of see where it goes. And like you said, there is a lot of crossover happening between podcasts, between rappers, dating OnlyFans, and, you know, celebrities being seen doing this or that. And yeah. I think we're fine.
No, you're. I think, well, what's cool about it, right, is you're like so ideally placed to be a part of wherever it goes, to lead wherever it goes, to be at the forefront of wherever it goes, because you're not just like, you know, a month in, you're like 2 years in, you've worked all these things, you know what you, what you're doing, you know what you like. So like when the industry starts to move, you get to be like, oh fuck, I'm going to move with it. I'm going to lead the charge, that kind of thing. So I think that's super cool. Okay. How do you feel about celebrities coming over to OnlyFans? Like, how do you feel about like Bella Thorne, Amber Heard, these people that make money in Hollywood, then coming over to OnlyFans and kind of being like, I don't know, more teasy. Does that upset you? Do you not care? Do you think it's great?
I honestly don't care, right? Because at the end of the day, like, yeah, some shit will affect me, some shit, but like, I don't have control over that. So why am I going, like, my stuff that I'm doing, it's like, that's not, yeah, it has the little, I'm a little related if you want to get super technical, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to sit here and tweet about, oh my God, Bella Thorne made an OnlyFans, but she didn't show her tits or her vag. Like, I don't care because I'm worried about me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a great point. And I think people just get caught up because it's like, I don't know. It's like, anger is the new black or something. Like people just like, it's like that fucking internet. And I get like, I see a shitty comment. Like you said, like sometimes you're a human, you see a shitty comment, like, fuck you, man. But then you erase it and like try to come, whatever. Like I think people like just give into that. And when you have an answer like you just did, where it's like, you know, sure, it might be kind of like shitty or trashy for me, but like, do I need to say something about it? No, I'm trying to make my money and do my art and do my thing. Yeah. So I love that. I love that you answered that way. That's fucking awesome. You're a leader of the new school, I think, you know? Okay. You're doing porn. You're enjoying it. Well, okay. What kind of porn are we doing? Because as you know, the barometer can go, I mean, there's so many different ways of approaching. Some women get in and they're like, I'm going to just do girl boy for a while and like kind of like ratchet up to gangbangs and bukkake and like whatever. So yeah. What are you doing? What have you done? And then I guess we'll talk about where you're headed after that.
Yeah. So what I've done is so Browsers initially casted me. My first role was this one is probably my biggest scene so far. Aside from the one that I have right now that we'll get to later.
Hell yeah.
So then my first one was the Browsers casted me as boyfriend's or like a son's girlfriend meets the parents. So essentially I go, my boyfriend is Joshua Lewis. He takes me home to meet his parents and I fuck his dad. Like, that's what happens. And I get cream pied by him. So that was my first scene. So I really like that, you know, I was like, okay, cool. I was a college girl. That was exciting. And then like, I like older men too. So that's exciting for me as well. So I was like, oh yeah, like cool. And, you know, Mick Blue's pretty solid as well. And he's been around for a while.
Legend, and, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And so then after that, they cast me as the girl next door. And, that was like, all right, cool. That's very on brand with me because I'm not a super explicit, hardcore model like the, in comparison to several other models in the industry. For me, I'm from Texas. I grew up, my dad's side is Catholic. My dad's side is Jehovah's Witness and my mom's side is Catholic. So I come from a very, very, you know, strong religious background. And I used to go to church 3 times a week, you know? So for me, there's still things that I'm still exploring with my comfort levels, my, you know, I wouldn't say sexuality. I love women. I'm bisexual as fuck. Like, yes. but in terms of like what I'm willing to do on cam and what I'm willing to kind of share. So I really enjoyed that those were like really solid, you know, safe and playful castings. And then I forgot, I told like to please, you guys don't hate me, but I had a Reality Kings. I shot with Reality Kings first before I did bras first. And that one was just a taste test. It was called taste test. And I had to essentially guess what my boyfriend was putting in my mouth. Oh my God. Is it an eggplant? Is it a cucumber? Oh my God. that was my first scene. So that's what I've done. To begin with in 2022, this year I did your classic, almost casting couch style for Net Video Girls. And that was really fun and exciting. And then I did a mofo scene. Mm. And that one was fun. That one is not out yet. So we're not going to talk about
it yet. Well, wait a minute. You got to give a little tease though.
Let's see. I will tell you something funny from it.
Sure, whatever you want.
It's absolutely disgusting and hilarious at the same time. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
So my scene partner was Johnny Love, and we're at the set location, and mind you, I flew out there. I flew to a different state to shoot this, and I'm staying at a hotel, and then I fly back home, right? So we shoot the scene. Johnny Loves finishes all over me, fucking covers my tits, covers everywhere. And then I was like, okay. And they provide you wardrobe. So I'm like, oh, hey, do you guys want this back or do I keep this? Like, what do I do with this cum covered outfit? And they're like, you can keep it. Like, no problem. So then, sure enough, I put it in my suitcase and I can't wash it at the hotel. So this shit travels all the way back to Texas with me. Wow. I take Johnny Love's cum outfit all the way back to Texas. And then I was like, I forgot about it because I fractured my foot. So it was like, I didn't think about this. So anyway, long story short, it finally got washed and I have it now. But yeah, so that was a super fun scene. It was exciting. The male talent was Johnny Love. So if you're a fan of him or if anybody knows who he is, it's an exciting one for sure. And so where were we? That one's pending release.
Yeah.
So in terms of the question of what I've done, where I'm going, and what kind of porn, as I really like Girl Next Door, Neighbor, things like that, things that reflect my personality. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think my personality says, like, I don't know. I don't want to sell myself short or like cut my own mouth here. But, you know, like, I'm progressing, and you know, that's just kind of where we're at. So I'm excited. Am I ready for a bukkake? Am I ready for a gangbang? I don't know. That's pretty wild for me. But it's exciting. And then I did my first stepsister role play video. And I don't know if you saw my tweet, but that shit got 4 million views in one fucking week. 1 week.
Yeah, I mean the I feel like the taboo incesty steps whatever is like, and this is really crazy because everybody wants to be like, ew, that's gross. Da-da-da-da-da. Well, you know, you can say whatever you want about it, but that's always in the top three on Pornhub. Like just that sort of like. And I think it's not that everybody wants to fuck their sister or wants to fuck their stepbrother or whatever. I just think that it's hot and horny and like done in a way that's like, this is really forbidden and it feels sort of safe and not real, but real at the same time. And so, yeah, I can't, I mean, I would have that. First of all, congratulations. Second of all, I think that's fucking totally representative of where people are at with their porn habits. I mean, stepsister, mommy, sister, brother, like that shit's always on gangbang. Like that shit's always there. So I think it's just very like, I'm not surprised that did very, very well. Okay. Then if that's sort of the flavor and you're open, you're like, who knows? Maybe I will do a gangbang. Maybe I will do a bukkake. Maybe we'll get there. Maybe we won't. Sounds kind of hot. I don't know. Maybe like whatever.
Yeah, that's kind of my attitude. It's like, I'm open and whatever comes my way, then sure. Yeah. Right. Am I going to actively go out there and seek a bukkake or a gangbang? I don't know.
Maybe. Keep watching. Yeah. Yeah. Like and subscribe. But okay, so if that's the flavor of like what you're doing mainstream, then what are you, like, what's it like over on OnlyFans with you?
So on my OnlyFans, I love a lot of, and you kind of have to be careful because there's like terms of service and things like that. But I really enjoy, like I have a whole Naughty in Nature series. And I enjoy like outdoor things. I'm from the city. So for me, in this point in like my life, I'm starting to discover the outdoors for the past few years. Like, because I've lived in the city all my life. And I'm like, holy shit, look at these mountains. Look at these trees. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I have a whole Naughty in Nature series. And that one is super fun. I fucked under a waterfall. I made a lesbian sex tape under a waterfall. Like, I've, you know, done quite a few things in locations that I probably shouldn't have. I've, you know, flashed my tits in front of, you know, some really cool places. And so, like, that's what I enjoy. I enjoy doing stuff. And I have a few, like, in public things. And the Naughty in Nature series. And those are like what I enjoy. Mm-hmm. And then I also love, I'm not lying here. I love giving head. I truly love giving head. It makes me wet. And so I have a whole like Roadhead Chronicles that I enjoy doing. And you know, like who doesn't want a little bit of Roadhead? So those are kind of my scenes for my OF. And then I have a girlfriend, her name is Maddie B. Her and I are starting a threesome series where her and I just end up working really well together. So we're just like, all right, let's see how many threesomes we can do together. So we've already done two so far, and then we have some already booked for January, and then we'll see how, like how long we can go on, because threesomes can be difficult sometimes and finding the right balance, and her and I have a pretty good balance, so we're excited for that.
Yeah, threesomes are like it's a mix of like, and this is just in life, not performative, although I do feel like threesomes in real life are still performative a little bit, because there's more of an audience, like three's a crowd, right? So I can't imagine what it's like doing it for the camera, but you seem like someone who enjoys themselves and just puts a camera on. So that's amazing, because you know, I think there's performers that perform and they give the audience what they want or whatever. Then there's other performers that you know, like yourself, that you perform and the camera's just kind of there and you can kind of tell, like you have that look in your eyes, you have that smile, like you can kind of tell that you do enjoy what you're doing. And so you're just sort of recording what you love to do. But like threesomes, you're right. Like there has to be not just chemistry between two people. Now it's three. And so when it's off or it's weird or you guys haven't like talked through it, it can be like kind of strange, right? In real life and performing. So is it the same guy you guys are having? Are you like mixing up guys or like what?
We're looking for any male talent in the industry. If you can put up with, and her and I are very energetic. We're both, you know, like her and I have very similar energy. So it's a matter of who can put up with two bubbly blondes with big tits. Like, if that's you, then, you know, and you're a professional talent, then you can slide in our DMs and we can set something up. But so that's our thing.
Well, is there an audition process? Let's say someone is like, they're tested, they're a male talent, and they send you pictures or whatever. Like, hey, my stamina's good. Like then what happens? Do you talk through it more? Do you bring them? Do they have to pay for their flight to or whatever? Like, what's the process?
So thankfully, they have conventions, pretty much one or two a quarter, and that's where a lot of sex happens. So there's so much, like literally the amount of sex that happens in one weekend at industry conventions is insane. Like we're booked the fuck up. We're fucking 2-3 times a day sometimes, like for 5 days straight. You know, everyone's like, oh, I just shot with so-and-so yesterday. And I was like, cool, you know? And
me too. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, oh, how'd you like working with so-and-so? I have a collab with him on Tuesday, you know? And that's just kind of how it goes. And that's actually how mine and Maddie's threesome started, because I was visiting her and I was like, hey, we both had a scene with someone and we found out, you know, like, I think we're just like loosely talking about our schedule. And then I was like, oh, well, I shoot with Bax on Sunday. And she was like, oh, no way. Like, I shoot with Bax on Monday. And I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, we should call up Bax and see if he'd be game for a threesome. And then we're like, but we don't want one another to miss out on a BG scene, right? And so we call him and we're like, hey, Bax, I'm actually staying with Maddie. And I know you see her on Monday and I see you tomorrow. Would you be able to film the threesome with us? And of course he says yes. And then she's like, but she didn't want to miss out, like I said, on a one-on-one. And, you know, him and I had already filmed together, so I wasn't too worried about it. But it was like, also, yeah, I want another one-on-one with him. So we ended up, so we're like, can you do three scenes back to back? Can you do, you know, a one-on-one with me and a one-on-one with Maddie and then a threesome all back to back? And Bax's like, yeah, I do it all the time. And we're like, great. You know, like, granted, not every male talent might be able to do that. So shout out to Bax. But so that's how it started. So yeah, like there's so much that kind of goes into it. And most of the sex and the collaborations happens at conventions or in like the industry hotspots.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and at the time of this recording, like AVN is like a month away. So you'll be at AVN then?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So how do you feel being at a convention and, like, you know, you have a line of, I would imagine, mainly men. I have not been to AVN, but I will be at AVN this year to fucking like party and like get some interviews and have fun, right?
You'll have a blast. You'll have fun.
I can't wait. Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. I was going to try to record some episodes, but I just think this time it's going to be like a fly-in, little bit of the man on the street kind of stuff with all you guys.
Yeah, that's what hits on social media these days.
For
anyway.
Sure.
Like, I found like a random video of like this one guy interviewing, because I stream from the Chatterbait booth at most conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I was just scrolling. I was like, oh shit, like that's my friend, or that's so-and-so.
Yeah.
And then these people are like in the comments. And I was like, just for the record, this is, you know, I can't remember. I was like, this is Demi Hawks. And this is like, you know, there was another model. And I was like, this is so-and-so, just like, and then I just wanted to comment on there because whoever put the poster didn't tag who they were interviewing. And
I hate that. Why do they do that? Like, even like the big shows, and like, fuck, I might even like call somebody out right now, but like some of the Barstool people, I love you guys, right? They're heroes. They're great. Why are you not tagging the model? Because then in the comments, it's like, name, who is this? I love her. Help. Like, just give us the name, right? Because
yeah, and it might actually serve you better if you actually, if you're not doing it to be a shitty, if it's not a shitty video,
yeah,
and if it's a video that's not against their favor, then just tag them, because you might get more views. It might tap into their fan base and it can benefit you. So fucking tag your models if you interview.
Yeah,
thank you.
Like, I don't know what kind of like what kind of strategy that is. If they're trying to build comments, you don't need to do that. You already have the model, right? But like, like when I interview somebody, I'm like, yo, I sent you a collab invite and another collab invite, and I tagged you, plus I tagged you again. Like, I just like want everyone to know, hey, this is what's going out, and I'm doing it from all my accounts. So like, you can rest assured, right? Like, if I interview you at AVN, you'll be tagged up and down, left and right, whatever, because that's the way you guys need to do it, right? But when you're at a convention like AVN or XBiz or whatever it is, and you see, like, you show up and you see like a line of people, mainly men, I would assume, and they're like waiting to just have like the same air as you to talk to you, whatever. How does that make you feel? Are you nervous about that? Does it make you excited?
So I've actually been going to conventions since 2021. That's how I really built my brand and my presence in the community and kind of like online is through going to conventions. Because like I said, I'm in Texas and so I'm very secluded. Like I am from the industry. I have to go to these conventions and that's how I have a lot of my scenes. And like I said, you just film like crazy and then I come back home and then I do all my editing and posting and things like that. And so that's kind of like how I've been able to build myself is through conventions and I love them. And that's what made me like dive even deeper into the industry is because I went to my first Exotica in Miami and I fell in love with it. I was like, oh my God, I found my people. Like, this is so amazing. Like, everyone's so open and accepting and you feel free and it's a fun time. And so I don't have any like nervousness around that. It's exciting. And I love getting to, like, I have some people who have been with me for years and then finally getting to meet them in person. And I've met one of my guys, his name is Keijuru. That's his screen name. And I got to meet him in person at the last convention. And he's one of my guys who, like, on nights where it's kind of chilling, like there's not a whole lot going or it's late. And I used to be a late night streamer. I used to stream from like 10 p.m. to like 4 a.m. and just like hang out because I've always been a night owl. And so he's like one of my guys that like would just hang out with me at night. I was like, Kaze, you're like, I'm so happy to finally meet you. Like you've kept me sane through like some of my streams and like you have this bond with some of these people. Mm-hmm. And then, I truly enjoy it. And this year I am kind of nervous because Chatterbait is not going to be at Avian. They're not having a booth. And so this is my second year at Avian and it will be my first convention, not with Chatterbait. And I'll be actually at my agency booth. And then I'm not sure yet. I might be at like the Avian, the actual Avian booth. They have their own where a lot of other stars sign. So I'll be at my agency booth and maybe the Avian. And so that one will be kind of like my first, like this is my first year, like as not as a Chatterbait streamer, but as a porn star at a porn agency booth. And so that will be really interesting and not having my camming with me, not having my stream. So I'm kind of like, oh, but I'm like, don't use it as a crutch. Like, I'm like, is it a crutch? Is it a comfort? And so this will be kind of good to kind of like gauge and test run for me. So in that aspect, not having, because sometimes like if no one's like approaching you or no one's like coming up to take your photos, I just turn my attention to my stream and my people get to see, my online people get to see me interacting with in-person fans. And that's always fun. And it kind of gives you something to do in the downtime when there's no one, you know, like walking by or during dead zones. So it will be interesting. So yes, I'm nervous for that part. Conventions, I'm not nervous about.
Yeah.
Being at a booth that is not Chatterbait, yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that you'll fucking kill that shit. I think that you, because like, again, you know, if you've done something like that for a year or two and then like there's a big pattern disrupt, a change, right? You seem like someone who's like really adaptable, right? You're like, gangbangs? I don't know, maybe, you know, like fucking whatever. So like, I just feel like you sort of have that new school energy. And so I think you'll fucking crush that. I think you'll come out of that and be like, wow, that was like kind of more fun and whatever, right? So that's awesome. I want to ask you, was there like, who are your heroes in the industry? Like, who did you look up to? Who did you kind of like emulate? And have you met any of them in real life?
I have not.
Okay.
I do have one. Her name is Tanya Tate.
Okay.
I've talked about her on other podcasts. She followed me back, I think last year on Twitter, and I was like, oh my god, you know, like when one of your like ultimate like people follow you on Twitter, I was like, holy shit. So I really enjoy her. I like her presence online. Like, she's got really great branding. Her scenes are great. I like the way that she carries herself. She has really good engagement, and I see the way that her fans talk to her. And so that's one thing. So she's like probably like one of my like favorites. I don't watch a lot of straight porn. I watch only lesbian porn. So she's like that's how I was exposed to her, was through that. And then now that I'm kind of in the industry, I don't watch her scenes for personal use anymore. It's just kind of like I've moved past that. And it was so funny because I was watching a scene, and I like early 2000s porn. I'm talking like 2005 to like 2010. 2010 is probably like my cutoff, maybe 2015. Anything new, like I either know them or I don't care for it or whatever it is, right? So I watched an older one, and I was there, and I was like, oh shit, I know her. I literally stood in line to get tested with her during AVN. The testing line was literally like hours long, like super long. And so I was like, holy shit, I stood next to her in line for like 3 hours. I was like, I can't watch this shit anymore. because like I know her. Like we literally had like real life conversations, like hung out for 3 hours. Like I don't really want to watch this anymore. And I was like, well, fuck, like moving on to the next thing that I have to watch. So to answer your question, like I'd say that's the only person that I really admire and that I guess you could say emulate in terms of I like the way, and she's kind of what inspired me to, you know, be multi, cause she's on a couple different platforms. And, so yeah, that's my person. That's who I enjoy. And you just kind of take inspo and then you create your own image and your own brand. And so, yeah, she's, that'd be my only one.
Well, is there anyone that you haven't met that's like, you know, popular now or like kind of like in the same, like maybe they came in before you, maybe they just came in or whatever that you're like, oh, wow, they're cool. I'd love to meet that person. Is there anybody out there that you like their work? I mean, I know you said you're not watching a lot of like modern porn, today porn or whatever, but you know, I mean, it's like hard to avoid anything in the industry on social. Like, who is there, anybody you really want to meet, anybody you really want to like, is there anybody you really want to even work with?
Not really. Like I'm just like, I like, for me, I think it's more so finding people who match, I know this is going to sound so whatever, but like finding people who match my energy, because I've worked with some people who aren't as enthusiastic as I am, and it doesn't make me feel good. And so it's like, I'm past that point in my career, my stage of terms of like, oh, I want to work with this so-and-so because they're a big star or they're so, now it's more so like, I only want to work with people who can match the warmth and the enthusiasm that I have. And so it's like, if I meet someone and I can feel that from them, then great. And so that's just kind of how I choose to work with people and like how I go about it. When it comes to pro scenes, you don't really have a say. So like that's completely different. But in terms of like the content that I produce. So no, I don't really have any like, oh my God, I would love to meet so-and-so and right. work with so-and-so. It's more so like, I just hope that I continue to find alignment with people who have that same passion for this that I do. So yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever get compared to anyone in the industry? Does anyone ever like say, oh, your work reminds me of, or you look like, or you act like?
I get that all the time. I get a lot of, I get Mia Malkova. I get,
we can all see that. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even know, like, I had to Google, like I told you, I'm like, I don't really watch a lot. So I had to Google like half of these people. So I've gotten compared to a lot of like, you know, 80s, 90s, like old school stars, just because a lot of people say like I have a little bit of a Marilyn look to me.
Sure.
And so I get comparison to a lot of classic, you know, porn stars. And then I get compared to like, in terms of people who are similar to me, I would say like Abigail Morris, because she also is curvy and big tits. I've never met her. I know who she is. Like, I've seen her at conventions, but I'm not going to go out of my way to be like, oh, hey, you know, like if I'm very much like, if things happen organically, then great. And like, if we find our way to each other, it's like, I know who you are. Hey. Mm-hmm. And if my fans are telling me about you, then probably there's some crossover there. But I would say she's the biggest one that I get a comparison to. And then Mia Malkova. And then, like I said, classic. So yeah, that's pretty much it. And then a few celebrities. Drew Barrymore. I get a lot of Drew Barrymore. And I'm like, okay, so.
Well, you could do like a good like costume on Halloween. Like you could dress up from Scream or something and whatever.
Maybe. I mean, okay, you know, Yeah.
I don't think there's been a good Scream porn parody yet. I could be wrong. I'm not sure. Whatever. So there's that.
Yeah, okay. Directors, if you want to make some
Scream Let's parody, go. Yeah.
Along with big tits running. Oh my God. Yeah, sure. Let's go. Let's do it.
Oh my God. That's fucking great. I usually ask this question in the beginning, but like we're getting here towards the end. But I mean, is there what made you want, like truly in your core, right? Because like, again, I can tell you're really passionate about it. And I think, I mean, that's just the fucking best when you get to talk to somebody as a podcast host and interview somebody who's is just passionate as shit about what they do. And I can see that in you. So was there something like a moment when you had that, you felt that passion go like, oh shit, I want to do, I'm curious, or like, I feel a pull towards like sex work or sex or intimacy or like whatever. Like, was there a moment and what was it? And like, when was it and all the good things?
Yeah. So I would say I kind of always knew that this was something that I would be interested in whenever I was younger. I had a whole bunch of friends who I used to live in a little bit more of a smaller town in Texas, and there was nothing really there except for to go into nursing or stripping. Like those were the two avenues that a lot of girls went into. And so I was a year younger than everybody in my grade. I guess because my birthday's in the summer. I don't fucking know. But everybody was older than me. And all my friends were becoming strippers. And I was like, oh shit, like I want to be a stripper. And then by the time I turned 18, I ended up going into restaurant management. And so, you know, that kind of just like took the back burner, and I was like, okay, whatever, you know, like I don't know if, you know, the strip club scene would really be for me anyway at this point. And then right around 19, I stumbled on it. Like, I'm not sure, but I found, like, I learned about camming, and I was really interested in camming. But like I said, I was, grew up very religious and all of those things. And so it was very much like, oh, you probably shouldn't do this. And I had a friend at the time, I told her, I was like, hey, I'm kind of interested in camming. And I was 19. And she was like, no, like she, you know, dissuaded from me from it. And, so then fast forward, I was like, you know, so I've always been interested in the sex worker community and, you know, being free with your sexuality and being free with your body. And that's something that I'd always been drawn to. And then it wasn't until 2020, end of 2020, I had gotten laid off, and my roommate got pregnant, and she was moving out in January. And here we are, like December 2020. I don't have a job. My roommate's moving out. I'm like, what the fuck do I do? Like, and then I was like, well, now's a good time as any to fucking, you know, just start camming, you know? And I was like, let's just try it, because I knew at that point I was kind of done with, you know, the restaurant industry and like marketing and things like that. It gets to the point where you look at the top, and this goes for anybody. If you look at the top and you don't see yourself at the top, and like that's not the position that you want, then you're probably in the wrong industry. Mm. You probably, you know, it's maybe time to move on. And that's kind of where I was at. And so I borrowed my friend's ring light. Like, I didn't even have a ring light. I didn't have a computer. Like, I didn't have fucking jack squat. And I like Googled, you know, like websites you can cam from using your phone. And I just started camming from my phone, and it was a progression, and one thing turned into another. And it was like, oh yeah, I'd like to do that. Yeah, I'd like to do that. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And it just, you keep saying yes to these opportunities and they progress and snowball. And here we are. And I'm moving to LA in 10 days to further my porn career, you know?
Yeah. There you go. From a ring light and a fucking phone to LA. Here we come. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to ask at the end here, a question. It's probably like three questions in one. I don't really know what happens up here. It just comes out the way it comes out. And then at the very end, we're going to play a game if you want to. And then we'll pack it in. So, I feel like, and only answer whatever you're comfortable with, obviously. But if you had to advise somebody, who is curious, right? They are curious about starting an OnlyFans, about camming. They are curious about potentially getting into porn, mainstream porn, amateur porn, like whatever. But they're nervous, judgment. They don't want to have to whatever on their Instagram. But they feel that pull, right? Like, one, what advice would you give them? And two, how much money is truly in OnlyFans camming, that kind of thing? You don't have to say how much money you make unless you feel comfortable doing it, whatever. But like, it's a lot of hard work. I mean, I know that, you know that, whatever. But just like blanket overall, like what advice would you give to get over that shame about the work? And then also, is it worth it? Like, you know, monetarily?
Yeah, I would say it's only worth it if you are truly, at the end of the day, okay with, you know, people finding out. Because as you continue to grow and progress and you start to become discovered, people from your past and people from your background or wherever you came from will find you, and they will reach out and they will put their opinion and they will say something, or they'll, you know, whatever. And you know what? Like, that just means like you've made it at that point, you know, in a way. But you have to be okay with that, and you have to be okay with it yourself. And like being, I think the biggest thing is making sure that you have good coping skills, and you have a good inner dialogue with yourself, and not allowing other people's opinions to impress or weigh heavily on you. Because at the end of the day, it's your life and you can do whatever you want with it, and you don't owe anybody anything, and you don't have to explain yourself to anybody. Like, if this is what you want to do, as long as you yourself are okay with it and you can live with it and you're happy and it makes you feel good, then do it. If you are too scared and you don't know how you'll deal with the backlash, is such a negative word, but it is. It's a backlash that happens. And make sure that you have a good support system. And so someone to turn to that fully supports you. And if someone's not supportive of what you're doing, and then maybe they're not the best person for you to be friends with or just kind of confide in. And so, yeah, that's my advice. And, you know, like, just make sure that you yourself are comfortable with it, and never do anything that you yourself are not comfortable with. And don't be afraid to say no. Like, that is the biggest thing is, you know, I always say, like, I'm from the South. I buck back. Like, I will not, you know, like, I will say no, and I'm not afraid to say no. So when that comes with opportunities, that comes with, you know, if someone asks you a question and, you know, like, or your family or your friends or whatever it is, you can just say no, or like, you know, just redirect or whatever it is. So yeah, that's the biggest thing is, healthy coping skills and making sure that you have a good support system in place. And that's it. That's all. And then as far as the money, I think that's a really big part. Let's not forget about that. The money is, it's good, but it's only as good as you make it. It's a lot of, there's been times where I was like, oh my God, it's a lot of believing in yourself and having faith, like have faith in yourself, because this isn't, you know, at the end of the week, you know that you're going to get, you know, $500 or $1,000 or whatever it is. It's like you have to put in that effort. And there's a lot of upfront costs with this industry. And that's one thing that a lot of people don't understand is you have to have, like, you have to continuously reinvest in yourself. I can't tell you how many thousands of dollars that I've spent going to conventions and with my hair. I'm Mexican. This is not natural. I pay good money for this hair, you know? So, it's only as much, you only make as much money in terms of how much effort that you put in. So faith in yourself. And if you work hard, you make good money. Like my dad says, I'll tell you what my dad says. If you don't work, you don't eat, you don't eat. I don't know. He says something like that.
Oh my God. That's fucking amazing. That's
the biggest thing. If you don't work, you don't eat. Like,
yeah. No, for sure. And like, you know, you're right. You are a business. Like Jay-Z says, I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. Like, you know, so there's that. So thank you for that. Cause I think that's really helpful. And you know, it's fun to talk about fucking cum shots and fucking whatever, but like we also want to mix in the fucking super realistic like value and what it takes to like get paid to take facials and have fun and whatever, because it is a fucking grind. It is an opportunity, but it's a grind. And like I just feel like I get asked a lot because I talk to a lot of talented people like yourself, and I always want to like throw that out there, like, hey, watch this episode, see what she says, because she's going to tell you the real deal. And so that's why I wanted to make sure I got that in there on the end. Okay, I have this segment. I have not done this in a while. It's called the It's called the burner. We sort of move faster through the questions. They're sort of rapid fire. You can take your time. Right. There's no pressure, that's right? Good. Okay, so you're gonna do it. Here we go. Name something you wish men would stop doing.
Thinking I want them to eat me out.
Okay. Name something you wish women would stop doing.
Thinking that you have to act a certain way or play a certain part in bed.
Love it. Love it. Name something you wish you would stop doing.
Oh, procrastinating.
Okay. Yeah, it's common. It's common, especially around this time of year. Have you ever been to a sex party in real life?
Yes.
Okay. Favorite guilty pleasure does not have to be sexual. It can be like Raisinets or Katy Perry or I don't know, whatever you want.
SpongeBob.
Okay. Okay. Name a person alive or dead. You can have sex with this person. You can hang out with this person for 24 hours, but at the end of 24 hours, they disappear.
Oh, man. I would say any insanely rich, successful mogul so that I can pick their brain.
Okay.
And that's it.
Yeah, no, there you go. Backstreet Boys or NSYNC?
I would say Backstreet Boys.
Okay, okay. Spice Girls or the Pussycat Dolls?
Pussycat Dolls.
Can you tell us one of your craziest sex stories, like in 20 seconds? It doesn't have to be, it could be from your work life, it can be from your real life, doesn't matter.
Craziest sex story. I went to a swingers club in Paris, France, with a guy that I'd known from Tinder and Instagram. And we went there and we just wanted to like have fun. And it was also a spa. And we didn't realize that it was essentially like the bull night, where it is where couples go to find a third, aka a man, to participate with them. So I was like, holy smokes, me and this guy that I know from Tinder and Instagram show up to this Paris sex club spa, not knowing that this is the night that couples come to find a third, a male. And there it was a lot of Parisian black men with a lot of wealthy white couples. And it was insane, to say the least. It was incredible. I had a blast. I It was great.
I bet you had a blast. That's a good one. That's a really good one. We might clip that one. We'll see. We'll see. What is the most used app on your phone?
Twitter.
Okay, Twitter. Favorite comfort movie or show? Like, what do you put on to fall asleep or like take your...
I said it earlier, SpongeBob.
Okay.
I know.
No, I think that's great. Flaming hot or probably not. Like really like spicy snacks and food and shit.
I'm Latina. I love anything spicy.
Okay. That's great. Fair enough. Okay. Do you have a Finsta account? Do you have a fake Instagram account?
No, they're all me.
I feel like you were gonna say, maybe. Like, so you look like you're gonna say yes. So we'll leave that there. We won't push on that. Finally, say something to one of your exes. You don't have to say who, you don't have to say why, you just make a statement.
Oh, that's so tough. I hope you enjoy my scenes.
Yes, Adeline Starr. Thank you so much for being on Sex Party. Let's tell these party-going weirdos where they can find you online, where they can buy all your stuff, they can give you money.
My name.com, AdelineStarr.com. That's it. Like, that's perfect. All you need.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being on the show. You have been awesome. I know you're going to come back because I'm going to pressure you to come back and chase you around to come back. I have an idea. I'll tell you as soon as we get off here. But thank you so much for being in this episode with me.
Of course.
Big, big thank you to my guest, Adeline Starr, for being on the show with me this week. Make sure you go check out everything she is doing. Make sure you keep an eye on her. She's going to be big, really, really big in the industry. If you're loving Sex Party, you want to see Adeline again. She's coming back. You want to see guests like Adeline. You want to support the show. You love the show. You just don't know what to do, okay? Come on, how many times I got to say this? I'm going to keep saying it. You could subscribe to the show. That's the most important thing you could do. You could leave a rating. You could leave a review. Fuck that bullshit if you don't want to. It's all good. Just make sure you're subscribed. If you're watching on YouTube, do you remember Matchbox 20 had that song Bent? What do you think that song was about? If you're watching on YouTube, I love you. I see you. I appreciate you. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed to the show. Again, most important thing you could do, weekly episodes every Wednesday. You could like all the videos. You could like this video if you are watching on YouTube. You could leave comments. As always, I'm available in the DMs on Instagram. And I will see all of you right back here next week.
Thanks for listening. The party continues next week. Click subscribe and let's make this a regular thing. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter @SexPartyFM. Follow Dustin @DustinRibka.